Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host, Teresa Watkins, and it is going to be a lovely day. Great weekend. We have the Winter Park Art Festival. Good morning, Lizzie. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I am great. It's going to be good weather for the festival, good weather for gardening. And if you've never been to Winter Park, they're container gardens downtown on Park Avenue. Just amazing.
Really?
Yeah, they're really beautiful. They're hanging baskets. So it's a good time to check Winter Park out. So it's going to be a good week for weather. We have Texas had a bunch of bad storms this week. And when I heard that and saw some of the announcements where they were talking about the weather, rain and lightning and be careful for hail, I go, oh, that's going to be us in a few days. And so we're going to get rain on Monday with a cold front coming through. Down in South Florida, you're going to get it on Tuesday. And when I mean a cold front, we're going to be about 49 on Wednesday at night.
What?
And then, in the 70s during the day. But next weekend, we're going to 60 to 70% chance of rain Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So the rain is coming.
Well, good thing I went to the beach yesterday after the show. So
did you?
I already got my beach in, so
Oh, my goodness.
I'm
so
set.
What do you do when you go to the beach?
Well, people hate going to the beach with me because here's what I do. This is my routine, okay? I do my job in the morning, okay? And then I leave about 10 o'clock, get to the beach about 11. And I'm there for maybe an hour. And then I'm like, oh, look, glow in the dark is turning glow in the bright red. And so let's go. So, yeah. So I'm only there for like an hour. My poor grand brat, I took one of them with me yesterday. And I'm glad I took my older niece. She's 24. But, yeah, I know my grandson's looking at me like, really? I just got the top of the sandcastle put together. Really? And now we're leaving?
It's so relaxing, though, to go there and hear the rush of the waves.
Mm-hmm.
And even just looking at the different type of plants that you see on the beach.
Yep.
So I love it. So yes. I want to give a big wow shout out to everyone who attended my talk last weekend at Peterson's Nursery with Howie and Karen Peterson. Mm-hmm. And it was great. It was so fun to meet everybody.
Yes.
We did a talk on garden myths and we did a little bit of education.
Oh, and I got my plum rose. I'm not saying it right, but it's the one that smells like Fruit Loops. That's what I call it, is the Fruit Loop rose. But I didn't think it was there. I showed up a little bit after you because of, oh yay, traffic.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, Howie. I was like, hey, Scott. I was like, you guys have this rose. And they're like, no. So then we were shifting through and I found a parade day one, which is the pink and the.
Oh, it's beautiful. It just looks like a watercolor.
It does. Yeah. It's like pink with like a white watercolor. Mm-hmm. And it's not the double the light. It's like a white with a pink around the outside.
Yes.
I almost got that one because
yes.
I couldn't find the purple or the plum one. And then all of a sudden, Scott yells. He's like, hey. Guess what, Lizzie? And I'm like, what? And he's like, there's one right over here. And I go, Jesus loves me. This I know.
I was so
but
happy.
But
the roses are spectacular. And I know that they still have some there. So if you want to run out to Peterson's Nursery. And this is going to be a great weekend to plant plants. We got the rain coming in. The temperatures are not going to be that hot. I mean, 80s, 85, maybe one day of 90. But, it's all good. And we don't have as much humidity right now.
Yeah.
So it's a good time to be planted. Go to Quality Green Specialist, pick up some natives that we have there.
Still got to get over there. I need to get a lemon tree.
Yes,
so
yes.
Dana will come see you, I promise.
And so that's a great idea. So it's go visit your nurseries this weekend. Take a plant home and go ahead and, just plant something in your yard. You'll feel so much better. I posted a video on our Facebook page this week of an exploding oxalis. And we talked about this last week, that this is the reason why we have so many in Florida, that the seeds literally explode. Well, it's part of my dirty word of the day. So if you go watch the video, see if you can come up with the word, the dirty word of the day that we're going to talk about in the second hour. And the video is just incredible. So I love it. And we're going to be talking about what squirrels don't like today so that you can kind of have a deterrence for them. And we will be able to kind of, you know, maybe not make it as attractive for them as they think. I was at a couple of clients' houses this weekend, and the squirrels were everywhere. And, you know, they like to plant. They like the acorns, and they like to chew the leaves of the acorns or of the oak trees. But can you deter them? Well, there's some products that you can't, so we'll be talking a little bit about that. And then we also have coming up, we have some great, great guests today, and I'm very excited about it. We have a really big superstar.
Mm-hmm.
We're in luck today, St. Patrick's Day weekend. We're in luck. Katie Dubow, she has her green thumb on the pulse of the garden world, and she has some wonderful recommendations for spring superstars for your garden. So she's coming up next. You're going to want to have your pen and paper ready. Okay, and that's going to help you because you're going to want to write these superstars down. And then we have Kim Haljak in Memphis, Tennessee, and she's going to be talking about some maybe some vacation ideas for the springtime coming up. And so I'm very excited to see Kim coming up through there. So we have a great show for you today. We're going to take your gardening questions. Lots of gardening questions this week. Rebecca and Sally and Tucci. I got to talk about Tucci, T-U-C-C-I.
I love that. Yeah, save it for 7:30 and 8:30. That's the best time to catch us at the
end. We'll give
the
phone numbers then at the bottom of the hour because we want you to listen to Katie. She's going to be fantastic. So from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. Thank you for joining us. I'm Teresa Watkins. Katie Dubow is a superstar. She is the president of Garden Media Group, which is the top marketing firm in the garden industry. And she's joining us this morning from Philadelphia. Good morning, Katie. How are you?
Good morning, Teresa. I am great. How are you?
Oh, I am great. You are too chipper in the morning. You sound wonderful.
I was telling Lindsay, I was up at 5 this morning, so excited to talk to you and your listeners.
Oh, that's wonderful. And so how is your weather going right now? Are you spring or are you still a little bit of winter?
Yeah, we are still a little bit of winter. That weather whiplash season, I feel like we are in, where the cherry trees are starting to bloom. All the daffodils are up, our crocus, our snowdrops, hellebores. But I know a frost is still coming.
Yeah, you hate to see it come, but I love all of those flowers. So I'm zone envious of you. And so spring happens this week, March 21st. Florida gardeners are already getting started in their yard here. And you have some wonderful superstar plants that can help make landscape springtime exciting. So what are the first steps? Let's get this so that people start off on the right foot. And what are the first steps to getting a spring garden started? What should they think about?
Well, I love this because I think so many of my friends consult with me, you know, and as you do this for a living. So you sit down with people and you have to help them dream. I think before you even think about, you know, positioning of your garden, you want to think about what is your goal? What do you love? You know, do you love fragrant roses? Well, give yourself the gift of a fragrant rose garden. You know, do you love growing food? And what food do you love? Do you need some privacy? What are the things that your garden, what are your goals and what are your dreams for your garden? And sit down, and there's bound to be a plant that can help you achieve that. And then, of course, isn't that true?
It is true. Oh, you're spot on. What do you want to grow? What's going to make you get out there and pull weeds in the middle of summer?
Exactly, because we all know. I was just out there yesterday observing what winter weeds have wintered over. And then, of course, there's the more practical stuff like, okay, so now that I've decided I do want a fragrant rose garden, I need a spot that has full sun. So, you know, or an herb garden. And so assess your space, assess your sunlight, your soil. How far are you from that hose spigot? You know, all of the things that you that are the more practical. How much space do you have? Then you can be armed with a plan before you start shopping like I do and come home with a car full of stuff to say, wait, where am I going to put all of this?
Lizzie's pointing to herself going, that's her. And so, yeah, that is so important. I'm glad you stated it that way because, you know, dreams are first and then you got to figure out where you can put your dreams. So I love that. So you have a way to bring nature indoors by foraging. What is foraging exactly?
Well, it's a little sneak peek. I know for your listeners that I come on to talk about trends every year, and we are just seeing, I just went to the Philadelphia Flower Show last week, and we are seeing flower foraging be a big trend. So sneak peek for 2025. But so the Philadelphia Flower Show is so interesting. This year's trend was united by flowers. And many of you all might have heard of foraging for food, maybe, you know, going out and picking chicken of the woods, mushrooms, of course,
yes,
as a guide. But, you know, what we're really looking at here is flower foraging and going out maybe in your garden, you know, don't steal from your neighbors, but going out in your own backyard and clipping some stems, clipping some foliage, gathering some fallen sticks, maybe some bark, and creating beautiful arrangements for your home out of the objects that you can just find in your own yard.
I think that's amazing. I love that because I see, you know, the bark that falls off of trees when I'm kind of walking and it's got lichens on it and it's got all kinds of interesting natural little pine cones here and there. And that's a great flower foraging. I love that. Okay, so now do you have a really easy way to do that? Do you have a tool we can use?
Yes. So a new product has just hit the scene and it's from a brand called Oasis Forage Products. And they work with professional florists to create a kit. And they really want to inspire people because the thing here, Teresa, is I know that you and I both love to garden. But one of the things that I'm really disappointed when I cut flowers and I bring them inside and I stick them in a vase. It really does not look like the Pinterest arrangement that I was trying to create.
Yes.
So one of the little tips is that they're providing gardeners or just, you know, everybody with the confidence to seek, prep, and create. And that's their motto. And they're really using the expertise of professional florists, both on social media and in directions in the kits that they provide to help people create those arrangements. Because really what we want as gardeners is for people to grow more plants. So the more you cut them and bring them inside to enjoy, you get that full, you know, 24-hour experience of plants in your life, and that will make you just so much happier.
Okay, now say the name of the kit again.
The Oasis Forage Products.
I love that. Okay, because, you know, the Oasis, that is that kind of material that you put in floral arrangements.
That's right, yes. And so that's what it really helps you be successful by using pieces of that. It's a brown floral foam, so it's a little different.
Oh, how cool. That's wonderful. Okay, so you hit on Lizzie's favorite topic right now, fragrant roses. And so let's talk about, you have an update on the knockout roses. And everybody knows they're easy care, they bloom year round. But what's new this spring with knockout?
Well, so Knockout is celebrating 25 years next year, which is hard to believe.
I can't even imagine that.
Yes,
oh, my goodness.
I know. The first single red came out 25 years ago, but they're not sleeping on creating new roses because they know that knockouts are a favorite of everybody's. Because like you said, 25 years ago, they really changed the rose industry. They rejuvenated rose growing for many people who thought they were too fussy. So they have two new, brand new colors out this year. One's called Easy Beezy, and it's a beautiful yellow, single petal yellow rose. It's so stunning. And the reason that it's single petal is because, and the name, Easy Beezy, is they really want people to know that it's a pollinator plant. You know, we think of our natives as being the only plants that benefit pollinators, but there are so many plants that can benefit pollinators. And this Easy Beasy Yellow Knockout also is a great one for the butterflies and the bees.
Oh, wow. That's going to help me with my landscape designs. That's incredible because you do have the red and the pink. And now that they've added yellow, that's incredible. That's wonderful. So any other roses that will make gardeners green with envy if they don't have it?
Yes. So, it's interesting. I was looking up, of course, making sure the roses work in zones 9, 10, 11, thinking for your listeners. And there's a new company. Jackson and Perkins has been around since the 1800s as a rose provider. But this year, they've just released a program called The Vault. And they're bringing back old roses that people love that just fell out of circulation for no reason. Then they just didn't have someone to mass produce them. And
wow.
So they brought back the Ronald Reagan rose this year, and it flew off the shelves. I couldn't believe it. I was looking it up. I wanted to grab one. It sold out.
Oh,
so keep your eyes on their Vault program. You can even submit your, your request. If there's a rose that fell out of circulation that you love, you can submit it to Jackson and Perkins, and they will hunt for the genetics in home gardens, wherever they have to see if it's a rose worthy of bringing back in circulation.
Oh, that's exciting. I love that. Well, if you were here, Katie, right now, you would be amazed at all the azaleas that are blooming. Our landscapes are just gorgeous. Azaleas blooming all over the place. And they're a real big Southern tradition. But, springtime azaleas is beautiful. Tell us about the autumn azaleas.
Oh, yes. So autumn azalea is another word for encore. You've heard of the encore azalea.
Yes.
Every encore has the name autumn in it because they want people to understand. If you don't already get encore, like this one's going to go again, it'll rebloom.
Yes.
One last time, they put that name autumn in it because they wanted people to understand encores will rebloom for you. And that is so, I'm so sad for those folks who go to the garden center and pick up an azalea that's blooming in spring because they think, oh, this one will do those things like rebloom in the fall. Well, make sure you're grabbing one of those reblooming ones. And so there's new, again, kind of like the knockout folks, Buddy Lee invented the encore azalea.
Yeah,
he was actually
what
a night nurse.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, what a hero. And have you interviewed him?
I have, yes. He's been on the show.
Yes. I was going to say, we need to get him on. It's so fascinating, the work that they are still doing. So this year, there's a new encore, and it's called Moonstruck. And it is so beautiful because it has variegated foliage. So we're not just looking at a gorgeous double white bloom, but this kind of gold, dark green, glossy foliage. So it has interest both when it's not in bloom in that heat of the summer, but then those double white blooms come out in the spring and again in the summer. And it's just a beautiful kind of just like this moon, moonstruck, this moon glow in your garden.
Oh, how incredible. I love that. So we've only got a couple of minutes, Katie, so I want to have you back on in a couple of weeks just to go over some of the rest of them. But I've gotten a lot of questions on pollinator plants and combinations.
Yes.
So tell me, you have an excellent combo that is really, really perfect for a Florida garden. What is it?
Yes. So there's we talked about roses, and I think a lot of people want to grow roses. Well, you can plant companion plants with your roses. So grab one of the new ones we talked about, either the knockouts or there's a new one called Big Ben that is great for Florida gardens. And plant there's a new balmy bee balm or Monarda that these are a smaller type of bee balm that don't get a powdery mildew. So it's a great one. It's called Lilac. Pick that up. It is beloved by all of our pollinators. If you're also looking for another great pollinator plant, there's a new butterfly bush on the market. And of course, it's a sterile butterfly bush, which means that it doesn't go to seed and spread and become invasive. And this is called Butterfly Candy. It's a brand new brand. They have a magenta color. They have a rose pink. And the new color this year is called Little Lavender. And it is just so beautiful. They're more compact than traditional butterfly bushes, if you've ever grown one. And I'm sure Teresa.
I do. They're just excellent.
The year, Yes, and 2024, the National Garden Bureau has declared it the year of the Buddleia. So this is the year that we learn more all about those butterfly bushes.
Thank you so much, Katie. I'm going to have you back on because you got a lot of other great recommendations. I'll talk to you soon, hon. Have a great St. Patrick's Day weekend. This is Florida's News and Network. I'm Teresa Watkins. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I want to thank Katie Dubow, which she is the president of the Garden Media Group, and she is just so exciting to be around. She loves gardening, and she has some really great ideas. So,
she's running 100% just natural energy. I'm like, girl, you need to do morning shows because she's just full energy, and I love it.
She's wonderful. So I will be posting links to all of these plants that we talked about. And so you can go to our Facebook page later on this afternoon. I was a little bit lax last week and didn't get everything on up in time. But, you know,
you act like you weren't busy. Come on now, seriously. You're over at Lakeland. You're over here. You went over here. You had like 15 places in one day. One day to be at.
I need a magic carpet.
No, you need a Jetson mobile.
Okay, there. We'll put that out to the universe there. So, you know, I get questions about squirrels, and I had that this week, and so I thought I'd talk about it, that, you know, products that, you know, will deter squirrels from getting into your garden. And it's important that you understand that animals go by scent. And if they smell something delicious in your yard, and it could be your pansies, it could be your roses, it could be, you know, any of the flowers in your yard that they love to eat, and they will eat them. So AZ Animals provided a list of ways that you can deter squirrels in your garden. So I thought I would just, and chipmunks too, for those of you who are northerners and snowbirds that you come down in Florida during the wintertime, and then you head back up north. This will also work for chipmunks, too, because they're rodents, okay? And so
they're so cute. And whenever I'm like, oh, when I'm up in Maine, I'm like, I saw a chipmunk. They're like, did you shoot it? I mean, I'm not there. But you see what I'm saying? Like, yeah. You don't look at it. They're so cute. They're Chippendale.
Chippendale, exactly. And so there's four categories of scents that these pesky mammals find off-putting. One is predator scents. Squirrels and chipmunks are prey animals, so the scent of predators can be very effective in making their decisions not to go into a garden. They also don't like strong scents. Strong scents like cayenne pepper, vinegar, and ammonia, if you spray that out in your garden, and be careful with the ammonia on your plants and the vinegar, okay? But you can spray it on the ground around your garden, and it will deter the squirrels for the most part. Citrus scents, smell of citrus. We love the orange blossoms, and we love Meyer's lemon blossoms. They're so fragrant. They're so beautiful. And squirrels and chipmunks do not like them. Okay, so that tells you right there they don't belong in Florida.
Yes.
Right. And so then there's also plant deterrents that if you crush up and, you know, emulsify certain plants like marigolds and alliums and society garlic and lemon balm and even paper whites for those of you in North Florida and in the South, North Carolina, Louisiana, that you have paper whites blooming. They have strong scents that can be off-putting to squirrels and chipmunks. And then scents can be used in various forms. You can do sprays, sachets, and oils to create a barrier or mask the scent of their food sources. And so, you know, those are some of the ideas. But now, if you're feeling overwhelmed, there are, you know, the predator scents that you can get at garden centers and farm stores and online. This is predator urine, okay? Hate to be indelicate this time in the morning, but mm-hmm. You can get coyote urine. And that sounds like a really hard task.
I do not want that job.
But they will not go in the area because that's what eats squirrels and chipmunks. So you apply the scent around the perimeter of your garden or your plants that you wish to protect, and it will work. Peppermint oil, and this is something that you can use in your garden, especially if you have a lot of mint, and it has a strong scent. You can soak cotton balls in peppermint oil and place them around the garden or near the plants you want to protect. And then alternatively, you can spray a mixture of water and peppermint oil on the plants around the perimeter of the garden. So now when I say that, you know, just having the plants doesn't make it a deterrent. It's the oils in these plants. So you literally have to get the plant and cut it back or, you know, use some of the leaves and branches and stems and then, you know, blend them up, put them in with, you can add water to it, but just having them around your garden may not be as effective. Cayenne pepper has a strong spicy scent that can be unpleasant for squirrels and chipmunks. You can sprinkle cayenne pepper powder around the plants or mix it with water to create a scent that can be sprayed directly onto the plant's leaves. Crushed garlic cloves or garlic oil can be used. Eucalyptus oil, too, as well. And castor oil has a strong scent that squirrels and chipmunks don't like. Lavender oil is great for humans, but it's unpleasant for squirrels and chipmunks. Rosemary, citronella oil, the mosquito plant, that citronella plant. Again, just having it in your garden, just having lemongrass in your garden or in your landscape is not going to deter squirrels or mosquitoes. You literally have to crush it up, blend it, and create a kind of spray with it.
I think that's some of the things that you just automatically think, oh, well, I have the bush or I have the plant, and it's just going to do the job, but then it's not. And I never, I mean, I thought about, but I've never really thought about, yes, the oil.
It's the oil in the plant, yes. And so it's important to do it. Now, if you're dealing with a serious infestation, it might be necessary if you've got really bad infestation, especially in your house, the squirrels in your house, you know, and the chipmunks and stuff, you may need to go ahead and get physical barriers, you know, fix your roof, and, you know, you can lay traps. Just remember, though, when you are trapping an animal, you either have to kill it on your property or you have to hire someone who is a trapper to get rid of it. You cannot take something you have trapped in your yard and go out to the country and let it go.
Right.
That's illegal. That's against the law. You don't want to do it. And I wish they would say that more on the traps that you can get at stores. There really isn't any to talk about that.
Right. Or also double check. Have a list of, hey, you need to go to this website to check to make sure that they aren't endangered.
Yes.
And if you do catch one, then you need to release it immediately or call wildlife to come help you.
Exactly. And so, you know, you want to do that. And I'll put this list on our Facebook page later on today, too, as well. And then I have some good products we'll talk about next. Now, this is a time to you can call with your gardening questions. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. Let me know you're up, you're having coffee or tea, and you can listen to the show. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is a great time for you to give me a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. We have some text messages from Eric, and he has a great deterrent for for squirrels. He has a 110-pound German Shepherd who he thinks that squirrels are delicious.
Yes, we have 100 and about 10, 15-pound boxer, which is a German side of the breed. And then we have three other boxers that are about 80 pounds each. And I don't know about a deterrent because there's a lot of playing with squirrels that fall out of nests in our yard, and it just drives me insane.
Oh, poor wee babies.
I know.
Until they eat your plants, you know, and that's the way I felt about lubber grasshoppers. Oh, so you got to make sure everybody out there listening, yeah, just set off. Lubber grasshoppers are going to be starting to hatch. Okay, so you're going to see these little black grasshoppers.
That are so cute.
And they're so cute. And they hatch like in groups of 50 to 100 around your crinum lilies, around your amaryllis, any kind of leafy kind of plant. And they will eat a whole plant in one day. All right. And so you start looking for them, because I used to think they were very pretty and they're very colorful, rainbow colored when they get to be adults. But once they eat your plant, when you see them, it's one of the three things that you can kill without any bad karma, okay? And I won't talk about the others, but lubber grasshoppers are coming. So you want to make sure that you've got that. So there is a product, and it's called a company called Messinas.com. Messinas.com, and they have a full line of liquid and granular repellents that works. And I recommend this to all of my clients when I put in something and they're in deer country and or they're having issues with plants. And this is a great product. They're called Animal Stoppers. And so they have a deer stopper. They have a dog and cat stopper, which is excellent. One season I had cats who thought that my garden bed in front of my kitchen window was a great place for them to go potty. And I'd be doing the dishes and this waft of cat urine would come up and that's got to stop.
Oh, yes.
And so the dog and cat stopper works really well. Doesn't hurt them. It's organic. It's wonderful. Then there's a goose stopper. So I think if you're having problems with ducks, then, you know, have you ever had ducks?
Yes, I love ducks. And I'm fixing to talk my husband into us getting some ducks.
Do you know that when you come out your back door, they will come, they see you coming and they will fly across the pond and they will come to your patio and they will just sit there and all they do
is quack.
Quack and do.
Yes.
And so they have a goose stopper, so that's good. And a flock of geese roosting and foraging on park fields, turf areas, or beach property can cause damage and results in piles of unwanted droppings in surrounding areas. So the goose stopper is excellent. Now, it's not permanent. You have to do it like every 30 days, but these products are great. And so they also have a animal repellent, mole and vole stoppers. They have a reptile stopper. Now, I've never used it.
Okay. I'm writing this down quickly. What is it?
That's what it's called, reptile stopper. You can go to Messinas.com and you can get it there. But it's easy to use. It's all natural ingredients, as safe to use around kids and pets and vegetables. It's a plant-powered formula, deters animals without using any harsh chemicals, guaranteed effective for 30 days per application, regardless of rain, weather, and watering. So I've always been a big fan of them. I recommend their products. And so let's go to Joe in Winter Garden. Good morning, Joe. How can I help you?
Yes, I have about 6 or 7 Jabata kava trees that this year are just completely covered in blooms. And I've had some years where I've had luck and other years where I have not had luck getting them to actually fruit. I'm wondering if you might have some advice on that.
Okay, how long have they been in the ground?
About 20 years.
And they're not blooming?
No, they are blooming. They're full of blooms this year. Some years they do not, though.
Oh, okay. And how often do you fertilize?
I fertilize fairly frequently, probably at least every couple months. But I did fertilize pretty heavily back in November and then in January.
Okay. And how tall are they?
They're probably 8 or 9 feet.
Okay. So, and they've been in 20 years. Are they in full sun?
They're not full sun. They get a good bit of sun. And again, they are covered with blooms. My question is, how do I get them to actually turn those blooms into fruit?
Okay, so one of the things you have to, okay, so I'm just going to talk in general terms, okay? So you want to make sure that the trees are getting water on a consistent basis. We've had a drought this year, and so that puts stress on fruiting trees, and it may not it may just drop the leaves or drop the flowers and not produce fruit if it's not getting enough consistent watering. I don't mean too much watering. I mean just consistent watering. And then also you want to make sure that they have enough sunlight for the plant, okay, and that you're fertilizing and how much. So, you know, depending on the trunk of the tree depends, you know, how much fertilizer you put down. So you may not be putting down enough. All right. And so then, two, how many do you have? Do you have just one?
I have seven, I think.
And you're not getting it. Can you send me a photograph of it?
Of the blooms?
Of the whole tree.
Yeah.
Because that would help me.
Not this morning, but I
no,
can't
no,
wait.
No. Whenever you get
right
a chance, just yeah. Whenever you get a chance, I just want to see the area, see the tree and stuff, so that I can, you know, figure out what's going on. It's kind of very hard because they should, after 20 years and you're fertilizing and watering and everything's good, you just want to make sure that I just want to make sure of what's going on. So I would love to see a photograph of it if you can.
Now, fertilizing them after they've got blooms on it won't knock the blooms off.
Lord. Well, depends on how much you put down. Okay, so again, following the label is very, very important. If you put too much down, yeah, you can knock some of the, you can stress it out where it will drop the leaves. So you also want to make sure that the plants are hydrated first. So fertilizing after a rainstorm is always best.
Okay.
Okay? So, but I would be interested in seeing a picture of them. All right.
Okay.
Send an email. So my email is teresa.watkins@live.com, or you can go to my Better Lawns or betterlawns.com website and send me an email there.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Joe. That's a great question. All right. So last week, Sam in Tallahassee asked me about the okras, and I did mention the okras. She had bad luck getting them. They're tough and inedible. And so you got to make sure you're pulling them off at the right time, Sam. So, you know, should be about, you know, 6 weeks to 2 months, and they should be fine. If you leave them on longer than that, though, they get very tough and everything. And so some of the varieties you can try to are Annie Oakley, Cajun Delight, Clemson Spineless, and then also to the North and South. Those varieties will do well in Florida. So should I plant transplants from the nursery or direct into the garden? Either one, you know, just whatever works best for you. This is the time to be planting okra. And so go ahead and just kind of journal it. This is when I planted them. This is when the leaves came out. This is when the fruit appeared. And then you can go ahead and you can just time it. And on the back of, if you use seeds, or if there is a label on your transplant, it will tell you exactly how long that variety takes to before you can harvest it. And the label has a really good information on it. If you get a variety that you don't know, email me and I'll kind of give you some information on it. But okra should take 6 to 8 weeks and you shouldn't leave it on more than that. But it's important to know when they appear, you know, so when they start to fruit, and then that way you can kind of count and do that. So, Sam, that's a great question. So 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. We're coming up on our next hour, and we love for you to stay tuned with us and call in with your gardening questions. We have the wonderful Kim Haljek, and she is from Memphis, Tennessee, and she's got an experience for you that you're going to want to participate in. It's a wonderful time of the year to go up to Tennessee, and I'm looking forward to talking with her.
I don't know. I mean, obviously, we have some family from my husband's side in Mississippi, but I love some Mississippi people. Let me tell you what. So I don't know what it is, but I love me some Mississippi people.
And so it's wonderful. We'd like to thank Katie Dubow for coming on. I'm going to have her back on because she had four or five other really great plant ideas. And so I'm going to have her on in the next couple of weeks, see if we can get her back. because I just love all her energy. You can check out Messinas.com if you'd like to stop some squirrels. There's also another product called NIMBY, Not In My Backyard. Check that one out too. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Did you miss anything? Go to our website, betterlawns.com. That's betterlawns.com. And you can catch all the podcasts there.